Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
Welcome once again to the Wellfed Guide to Life, brought to you in part by HopChart.com.
It's an 80s dance party.
It really is. My name is Dave. With me, as always, is the John Blake to my Bruce Wayne. Mr. Evan Peterson is here.
Is that a real name? Is from the comics?
It was like a Tim Drake.
Not even close.
No.
It just sort of vaguely rhymes.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of what they've done with every single one of those movies.
No.
They've kind of taken, like...
They've never changed a name, a base graphic novel,
and then kind of just tweaked it.
Well, that's fine, but they've never completely changed a name.
No. This is the first time that it is.
But we'll talk about that.
Yes. I'm here. He's here. We are here at American Burger Bar.
That was deep.
In lovely and picturesque
1987
downtown St. Paul. American Burger Bar has been here a little over 2 years, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And we remarked that it looked like a strip club.
It looks like it should be a strip club because there's, you know, on the front of it, there's almost no windows.
Yeah.
It's not in a seedy area because, I mean,
most of St. Paul is kind of seedy.
Well,
downtown St. Paul is ugly.
It is. It looks poorer than it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that sounds horrible for me to say.
But you're completely right.
But it seems a little seedier than the rest of it.
Well, take downtown Minneapolis. I don't ever feel really uncomfortable walking downtown Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're really, aside from, like, you don't really want to be walking down Hennepin Avenue at, you know, 2 in the morning.
Not normally, no.
Or bar closing, for that matter.
Which is around 2 a.m., so, yeah.
And every time I come to downtown St. Paul, I'm a little more gun-shy. I don't know if gun-shy is right way to put it, but it's just not as nice.
It trips all your urban fear triggers.
Yeah, there's a lot of homeless people, and, you know, I know how much you really love the blacks, so...
I love the blacks.
The coloreds, excuse me. Sorry, that wasn't PC.
Don't call them the coloreds. Yeah.
Either way, I think if we both had our druthers, I would take Minneapolis over St. Paul downtown-wise. But,
you know,
but if we're taking neighborhoods surrounding the two,
mm-hmm.
I would take St. Paul.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I mean, I really love, like, Grand Avenue neighborhoods, Cathedral Hill.
Mm-hmm. All the rich people neighborhoods.
Rich people neighborhoods,
yeah.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
With the black stone hanging out.
Really digging a hole here.
I'm kidding.
You're a terrible person.
So, many, many moons ago... Wow, this is an 80s dance party.
It is really an 80s dance party.
This is really amazing.
I'm wearing my Ghostbuster shirt.
I know.
Mean, it's really...
I feel like I'm out of touch.
Yeah.
Right now. I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail you with my...
Approximately 3 years ago, we did a show from Convention Grill, another burger place, in which we reviewed in great detail.
Great and fawning detail.
Yes. The Dark Knight. And
yes.
This past weekend, even though it was somewhat overshadowed by tragedy. The Dark Knight Rises, the sequel to said movie, has come out.
Yes.
And we have decided that we're going to venture back down that road.
Well, you know, when we did the Batman show, people really dug it.
Yeah.
Like people were interested in that.
Yep.
And we'd actually gotten a few messages from people saying, are you guys going to do another one for The Dark Knight Rises?
Mm-hmm.
And I had kind of written it off that we weren't.
Right.
Because I wasn't planning on being able to see it.
Right, because you're not allowed to go out at night.
You have to ask
permission.
It's terms of my probation.
Did you really have to sneak out? I mean, that's awkward that you have to crawl through the window to get out.
Well,
just to watch a movie.
Yeah, but you know what? It helps with my flexibility in my old age.
Right,
you know,
right. Because I look at you and I think, gymnast. I think just missed out on the
shot. No, you look at me and think Olympics. You look at me and think pommel horse, which I think says more about you than anything else.
I was thinking more of like an equestrian event at the Olympics.
I'm a good dressage. Yeah. Dressageer. I don't know what you call something that dressages.
Dressager?
Dressagerer? I don't know.
I think I threw in an extra syllable.
Yeah, a few R's that probably shouldn't be there. But yeah, so we will be talking about Dark Knight Rises. We'll try to keep it as spoiler-free as possible.
No.
Let's keep the spoilers to the end. Let's try. We'll do what we can. We'll do what we can.
Because I figure about 5 minutes into this, there's no way.
I can speak in generalities.
I can't.
You can't? Okay. Can't. Well, before we do that, we should talk about what we're drinking.
I'm drinking a Surly Hell, which is a Surly seasonal. I put seasonal in quotes because while Surly does have seasonals, you can kind of find them all year round. It's just a well-known fact.
It's one they promote more in the
in the
late summer.
Yeah, and it is a very much a summery beer. So.
Yeah, and they just released their. I don't know how you pronounce it. Might be, it's like XIX.
Yeah.
It's something like that. I don't think it's like Roman numerals, so it's not like I'm being.
I know
like
what you mean.
Stupid, but it's like XYX. Maybe I don't know what it is. I saw that, and our friends over the Four Perkins, first time I've ever seen them do this, where they actually mentioned that they were not taking phone orders. You have to come in and get some. So, I'm guessing that'll be a bit of a good seller for them.
It is 80s dance party. My God.
It is 80s dance party.
We got What else we got? Before it started, we got...
Bananarama. Is that Bananarama? Blue Summer?
Yes.
Yeah. We had...
I thought it was Cruel Summer, but...
Cruel Summer, yeah. Sorry.
We had Rick Astley.
Rick Astley before we started the show. Yeah, it's quite the. I feel like I'm trapped in a VH1 special.
We actually should be interviewing a one-hit wonder at this point. But instead, we are going to talk about Batman.
I haven't actually mentioned what I'm drinking.
Yeah. Oh, you do that.
This is nominally a food show, so we're going to try to make it food related.
Not today.
I'm rocking the Stella.
Yes.
My soda ban is continuing apace. I'm doing well. It's been 2.5 months now.
I'm gonna wonder how well that's gonna go come Gen Con.
Well, that was the cutoff. Is once Gen Con starts, then game on.
Okay.
Gen Con, if you don't know, is a big gaming convention that I go to every year.
Right.
And that's gonna be my soda rumspringa. It's just like fucking go nuts.
What happens if your body like rejects it?
No, it's not possible.
I think it might.
No, I've actually looping this back into Batman. Mountain Dew has released an exclusive. I think it's like a black cherry flavor.
Yeah. Have you stocked up?
I've stocked up. Did you really? I have a 2-liter waiting for me at home.
Are you bringing it with?
I don't know. It depends on when I decide to pull the cord.
Some guys, they save a special occasion cigar.
Maybe a bottle of wine or something.
Bottle of wine or scotch or something like that. No, you've got
the... I got the blue cherry Mountain Dew.
Exactly.
And the sad thing was, it was more just I don't know if it's going to be out by the... If it's still going to be available by the time... Yeah. It goes. I'm like, I'm gonna get this. So I've been very good. It's been very tempting.
I think your body's gonna have an adverse reaction to it.
I don't think so. My pancreas may shoot out of my chest.
It's gonna be like a drug addict falling off the wagon.
Oh, and how am I gonna fall? Oh, baby. It's gonna be awesome.
Just an elegant fall.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. So yes, Batman.
So I'll lead into how I saw
you. Yeah, you lead it. You lead into it.
So I saw it with my uncle.
Okay.
Who, up until last week, had not seen either one of... He had not seen Batman Begins or The Dark Knight.
Okay.
And so I loaned him both movies.
Okay.
So he went in with completely fresh eyes and not had seen either one of the other two multiple times.
Like you have.
Like I have. I can't even count how many times I've seen Dark Knight, honestly. I think I've seen it probably close to 20 times. I own it, the whole shoot and match. So, I went with him.
Okay.
And he didn't know any of the comics backstory.
Sure.
Or anything like that, but I said, you really got to watch the two to kind of get the third.
especially the second one. The first one, I think, is less important because I think they cover...
Really?
I think the third one covers the points made in the first one better than it does the second.
Okay.
I think it assumes that you've seen more of the second one than the first one. See, I'm not going to say you shouldn't see the first one.
See, I almost think you could go without the second one, that the first two tie together better.
I think...
The first and the third.
I think all of the implications behind all the Harvey Dent stuff, I think that's...
Yeah.
I think that's very important to the story. Or specifically, you know, the Commissioner Gordon story points.
That character arc.
Yeah. Like, you really need to know everything that happened with that. Because they give you a little refresher, but it doesn't really cover it. But I think the stuff in the first movie with the League of Shadows and all of that stuff, I think they cover the salient points pretty successfully.
And being that he had only seen both movies once, he was able to piece it all together, and it made sense to him, and you know, I didn't have to sit there and explain anything after the fact, like, well, this is why that happened, or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see it from somebody with an unbiased, you know, he enjoyed both Batman Begins and Dark Knight, but he wasn't exuberant about it like I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
are exuberant.
Well, I really liked Batman Begins, and I think The Dark Knight is on my top five favorite movies. So, going into it, it was nice to have somebody that was a little bit of a balance going to see it. And we saw it in IMAX, which is the it is... I can't even imagine not going to see it in IMAX.
Because, I can.
Well, yeah, because you did.
Because it did.
But it was so well done. Those IMAX scenes were so well done.
Yes.
You can definitely tell... the scope now, and the size.
Okay, I saw Dark Knight in IMAX.
Yes, you saw it with me in IMAX.
Yeah, one of the times I did see it with you. And in that one, you could tell which ones were shot in IMAX because the screen would blow up and then shrink back on. It was kind of annoying.
Yeah. This.
Did they do that? It was just the whole thing?
If it did, I didn't notice.
Okay.
Because there was so much of it that was in IMAX. You know, the thing is in Dark Knight where I can remember it was shot in IMAX was the truck doing the flipping over.
And some of the big, like, overhead helicopter shots. And
or
like
anything
that.
Where he's jumping off a building, or the that sky hook pickup.
Yeah.
That was all in IMAX. Yeah. So, but for this one, I could not tell, and I think the times that it wasn't shot in IMAX were the fight scenes. And for that, you don't want IMAX, because the way that both of them fought, both Bane, spoiler alert, both Bane and Batman.
What?
I know.
We said no spoilers.
Yeah, tough. The way that both of them fight, it's close quarters.
Mm-hmm.
IMAX isn't going to do a whole lot for that.
No.
So.
And I could be just pulling stuff out of my butt, but I seem to remember that there is an actual kind of speed issue with IMAX, where you can't shoot really fast action.
I believe you're right.
And that could be just an old thing, and they may have perfected it since then, because I don't know. But that might explain why they did the fight scenes more of a conventional
style. And it wasn't like they were poorly shot.
Guys, I'm the timer.
Thank you.
Can I grab you guys anything else right now?
I think we're good.
I'm good.
All right, enjoy.
Thank you. It's Thriller.
It's Thriller night.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Greatest soundtrack ever to a show. That's cheese, my friend.
That is cheese. Fried cheese.
Nice.
So... okay. Having now seen all the movies, where do you place this in the hierarchy of quality?
This is number two.
Okay.
This is number two, and I went in with it thinking this one's going to be number two.
Okay.
And that's not to say I don't really have a whole lot of gripes with it. There are some...
I have gripes, but...
There are plot points that I was kind of frustrated with.
Okay.
I liked the Bane character quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, he was good.
Mm-hmm. I like that there was a very visceral quality to him. You know, there was no shade of gray.
He was very focused. I was talking with Heather about this. And she said she felt that Bane was actually creepier than Joker was.
I agree.
Because of that focus and that kind of that fanaticism, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So,
however, spoiler alert, he goes out like a bitch.
He does. He kind of does.
I'm sorry.
We won't go into all the details, right. But it's more just like, oh, he's done. It's like, what the hell? Now, granted, they kind of handled that beforehand.
Yeah.
Before the big reveal, which we're not going to talk about. But it's, you know, it's, so they kind of cover that. And, you know, the whole, it's kind of weird because the impression that I got is that, you know, Bane is, especially in all of the sequences with Batman in the pit,
mm-hmm.
like, to me, that was the start of Bane dying.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, it's all about how you're going to take him down.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're explaining the story of him and his background and all of that stuff,
right.
that's kind of the stuff that you'd normally fit in at the very end.
Yep.
And while it was handled like exposition where they're just explaining, you know, story, the way that it was handled felt very emotional and kind of, this is the process of saying goodbye to this character.
Yeah. But it went out like a bitch.
Okay.
That's my only real gripe.
Really?
He deserved a better death than that. He did.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get somebody that's physically menacing and actually you're nervous. You're sitting in the chair nervous, like, what's this guy gonna do next?
Mm-hmm.
And not unpredictable like Joker, like when, you know, when he broke out of MCU in The Dark Knight Rises,
mm-hmm.
or The Dark Knight,
yeah,
you were kind of like, oh my god, I totally didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
With Bane, you have that, oh my god, I didn't see that coming, but there's also this dread, like, this guy will snap your neck.
Mm-hmm.
This guy will snap your neck and not even think twice about it. I thought Tom Hardy was... It was Bronson in a...
It very much was.
It was Bronson in a Gimp mask.
Uh-huh.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. If you haven't seen the movie Bronson,
mm-hmm.
you absolutely have to see this.
Yeah.
And my... All right.
You can spoil it a little bit.
No, I'm thinking about how I want to approach this. There was a rumor going around for a while that the early test screenings, people complained that they couldn't understand what the hell he was saying. Mm-hmm. So the rumor was is that they went back and they re-engineered the sound so that he was clear. And I could see them doing that.
Yes.
But I think they may have overdone it.
You think so?
Because I think there were some times when it felt like a voiceover.
Yeah.
Like they didn't mix the sound properly.
The only time I noticed a real issue was during the speech that he was doing in the football field.
Yeah, but that was somewhat cut by the fact you had the announcer or the loudspeaker kind of fuzz. But there were a couple times, like in his big monologue outside the courthouse, it wasn't the courthouse, it was the jail.
Yeah.
Where there were some lines that were crystal freaking clear.
Yeah.
And it was just like, no, the sound. And granted, I'm a sound nut. Like I'm very kind of tuned into that. My dad actually yelled at me because I was bitching once about the sound design of my little sister's school play. I'm like, the guy running the board is just terrible. So.
It's like on the 80s mix, my god.
Must be.
Terrific.
But, you know, that was fine. You know, it was annoying, but it was just like, whatever.
See, I didn't have any problems understanding him in IMAX.
I didn't have any problems understanding. There's like one or two lines that I was like, hey. But
it was so loud.
Well, that might be
IMAX theater that I had no problems whatsoever understanding anything. It's the best description I heard walking out of the theater was he sounded like Sean Connery underneath a rubber mask.
You know, it's actually funny because one of the people I was with made almost the exact same comment for me. And I know you haven't seen the show, Venture Brothers.
I've seen parts of it.
Okay. Yeah. There's a character in that named Baron Unterbite.
Okay.
That is his voice. Like, I even said this on Facebook. I think he, you know, I love Tom Hardy, but he really needs to give credit to the guy who does the voice of Baron Unterbite because he fucking stole that voice. I mean, it sounds exactly like him.
You might have to Google that when I get home.
Yeah, seriously. It's if I had better video editing skills, I'd totally intercut, you know, lines from the movie with footage from Baron Unterbite and back and forth. I'm trying to think. The one thing I will say about this, I'm with you in that it's the second, probably the second best.
Mm-hmm. And that we're not besmirching Batman Begins because it's an origin story. That's pretty damn good.
No, yeah, it was fine. It was fine. But and I realize part of this is a function of the Batman universe, but I give the trilogy a lot of credit because it's the only trilogy that I can think of where the main character in all three movies is consistently the least interesting person in the movie. Like, and just the worst acted of the main characters. Like, I've really gone sour on Christian Bale.
But could you see anybody else in that? What you need in with somebody in that role is somebody to steer the ship. You don't need somebody leading the ship. You need a good pilot. And I think that's what he executed well. He was able to interact really well with all the other characters. The only character that I really did not, and I thought he was better in this than he was in the first two.
Okay.
The only character I didn't like in this was, I gotta think of her other name. Talia al Ghul.
Well, she wasn't in the other two.
No, but I'm talking about in this one. She was the only character I did not like.
Okay.
I just don't think she's a very good actress.
Yeah, I mean, the actress is Marion Cotillard, who's a big, you know, who's a regular in the Nolan movies. She was in Inception.
She won an Oscar for the En Vie Rose.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, pretty close. Pretty close.
Yeah.
I think she's fine. You know, I just, for me, I don't care what justifications you have. I don't care what. You're never going to convince me that is a good Batman voice. Like, it just, it's ridiculous.
It is
it completely destroys any sort of seriousness or any sort of impact with any scene.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's really bad.
Yeah.
But if they give Hathaway a Catwoman movie, I'll be there day one.
Pants off.
I don't know about that, but
She was superb.
She was awesome. I mean, she was super. I really think she's one of those actresses.
God, she's hot.
Well,
she's hot.
Here's the thing. In a way, she's kind of like the female Brad Pitt. In that, she's a much better actress than her looks would require her to be.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Anybody else that looked that good, you could skate.
Yep.
And just be, you know, just kind of middling.
Yep.
And just get, I
just
get,
pay, you know, just go payment for payment.
Yeah, I mean, Angelina Jolie has that tendency a little bit, where she just kind of skates by.
Completely.
You know, there's a couple other actresses that I think about.
I'm just thinking of putting Anne Hathaway in any movie that what's her face that you just said,
Angelina Jolie
is acted in. and how much better she'd be at it.
Depends on the role.
Okay.
You know, Angelina Jolie can play the kind of cold, kind of high and mighty kind of character, I think, a little better. And that's just a function of her voice, quality and that stuff. But no, I think Catwoman should get her own movie.
How's everything tasting?
Good.
Do you like another beer?
Can I get a water, please?
Yeah, can we get a glass of water? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, I mean,
I love, I really, really like Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I'm so torn on him.
Really?
Because it feels like, and again, it all comes down to vocal quality. It feels like he's putting on a voice. And I know part of that is just his speaking voice. But it's just, I think in my head, he will always be the kid from 10 Things I Hate About You. So I'm expecting that voice.
I would have gone with Angels in the Outfield, but that's
Never saw that.
They actually had that on TV last week.
Really?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... He was good. And... You know, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about him in general.
I like him. I thought he was a good fit. He's kind of small, mm-hmm. so I don't buy him taking on
any sort of other
role.
Yeah.
For those of you who've seen the movie already, I'm not going to elaborate any more than that. But. And I don't see them doing any sort of takeoff on that either.
No, I mean, no one said this is his last one, mm-hmm. so I don't really see them trying to money hat him or something, so.
You mean pulling a Michael Bay?
No, I mean offering him a dump truck of money to do another movie.
Yeah, a Michael Bay.
I don't think Michael Bay has that much standards.
That's a good point. That's an excellent point. Another 2-star, or let me see, 4 stars. Michael Caine.
Oh, God. Michael Caine.
God, can that guy do anything wrong? He was brilliant. Brilliant. It had me emotional.
He had like 3 scenes in the whole mm-hmm. movie. But, you know, he is...
They were stellar. All of them.
Yeah, they're all perfectly acted.
Yep.
You know, and I think Michael Caine's gotten real comfortable with that character. And, I mean, he very much is Alfred. I mean, that's just mm-hmm. the way it is.
I don't even remember the other guy who played Alfred in the previous 4 movies.
Hmm.
I mean, I can picture him in my brain, but when somebody says Alfred Pennyworth,
mm.
I think Michael Caine.
Mm.
That's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
That's not to say that the other guy wasn't a respected actor and did a good job of it, because he did.
Mm-hmm.
But you felt an emotional attachment. And he carried any scene that he was in.
Mm-hmm. Similarly, Gary Oldman's another one who can really much do no wrong.
Yep. For the first time over the span of the 3 movies, I actually felt conflict. Like, couldn't actually tell if this guy's a really good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I applaud him for, going into that gray area.
Yep.
That the police can be corruptible, and
mm-hmm.
and even the most uncorruptible can have secrets. And,
well, yeah, and, you know, he's another one. I mean, it was like him and Alfred, and that's pretty much it. They're both were, since they were in all 3 movies, they were given their own arcs through all 3 movies,
mm-hmm.
and that's something you're rarely going to see in a trilogy.
Right.
Where, I mean, the only trilogy I can think of that does anything close to that is probably Lord of the Rings. Where the side characters have their own storylines that are kind of progressing along the same way.
Star Wars.
You know, Star Trek to a lesser degree. I think Star Wars is a harder sell for me, because I consider Luke, Leia, and Han as main characters. Like, I don't put Han, even though he's, you know, he's not the primary focus of the story. I don't put Han as, like, on the same level as, like, Alfred.
As a who?
As Alfred. In terms of where they function in the storyline.
I'm talking... I think of, like, an Alfred as, like, a C-3PO-ish character.
But that's my point.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's my point. It's like, C-3PO didn't have an arc.
No. You know,
he just kind of was. He was a quote spouter.
Yeah.
You know? And there's nothing wrong with that. And then, you know, Alfred, I mean, that was what Alfred kind of was in the first batch of movies.
Yeah.
Where he was just kind of there to throw, you know, either a funny line or the line that, you know, snaps somebody out of a whatever, you know. You know, he's more of just a mobile plot device than anything. But yeah, it was, for me, what hurt it was, did you get the impression? Now, you've just seen it the once so far?
Yeah, I'm going again this week.
Okay. I kind of got the impression, especially in the first kind of third of the movie, that they were cutting back and forth to different things a little too quickly. It almost feels like this should have been like a 4-hour movie. I feel like in an ideal world that they would have Kill Bill'd this, where it was two movies, so they had time to build up some of the stuff and kind of flesh some of the scenes up, because there were some scenes that they didn't seem fast, they would just seem choppy.
I wanted more Bane. I wanted more of the prison time.
Yeah, okay.
It was too rocky for me. It was too...
Well, that's what he's there... That's what it's there for.
I know, but I think there needed to be more torture and...
There's... All right, now we are getting into split pocket. I don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't really torturing him. They were just basically... Here, you get to watch everything burn down. It's only visually interesting maybe twice.
Mm-hmm. Is the guy still doing okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would have been fine with had it gone 4 hours or split into two movies.
Yeah, I really think they should have gone two movie route. They end it with Bruce going into the pit.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the first part. Yeah.
We were at probably had to have been at like the hour and 45 minute mark.
Yeah, that was about the halfway point, because it's close to a 3-hour movie.
It was long.
You know, so...
It was a one piss break movie for me. I usually can make it through. I couldn't.
But it just seemed like there's a lot more there that they just couldn't do, because, you know, somebody told them you can't release a major blockbuster that's 3.5 hours long.
Yep. They needed to flesh out some more characters. They needed to flesh out. I think they should have fleshed out Catwoman's friend's character a little bit more.
Just more. I wanted more Catwoman.
Yeah.
You know,
I wanted a little bit more of her backstory. I wanted a little bit more of the Miranda Tate character.
Yeah.
I wanted a little bit more of. I wanted a little bit more Bane backstory. Even though we got most of it.
I think you got what you needed to get.
Yeah. But I wanted to know the injury that kind of. You know.
Well, see, to me, Bane, in a lot of ways, is similar to the Joker.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, a theme that keeps getting brought up, especially in the third one, is the idea of being a person versus a symbol.
Yeah.
And the Joker is very much a symbol, which is why, you know, why he tells, like, three different origin stories in that movie. And, you know, why there's very little explanation to him. Bane's kind of the same way.
Yeah.
You know, it's... They got more... They gave you more of the backstory, but that was more to function. It was
storytelling.
It was more to give you something to hook onto, so that the end.
Yeah.
It was serving the end.
It was a great twist at the end.
It was a great twist, and it was one of those where it's like, God damn it, I should have been able to figure that out.
Right.
Right. because it was one of those, like, that whole part where it was, as they're explaining stuff and they're laying out all the different plot points,
yeah.
I'm like, something's not right here. I couldn't, like, put my finger on it, but, like, yeah. There's something not matching up. But it was one of those where at that point I was so kind of focused on some of the technical flaws with that movie,
mm-hmm.
that I kind of was willing to chalk it up as just, this is kind of not good storytelling. Right. So it kind of masked actually the somewhat skill that was put into it. I'm going to have your tomato.
You go for it. Excuse me, I got a belch.
It's all right.
I'm trying to think of other points that I don't want to. I'm having a hard time knocking the movie. Because it was good, and it wasn't as. I was thinking it's either going to be really, really good, or it's going to be such a huge letdown from the last movie that just I wouldn't be able to cope.
Mm-hmm.
One of the loose. And I've got a little bit of gripe with it.
Okay.
Only because the character was so good. I wish there was some sort of nod, some sort of, you know, tip of the cap to the Joker. Something. Just some sort, not even if it was just a mention, like he's locked up somewhere, or, you know, just just a slight tip of the cap. I was looking for that the entire movie, and it was a little let down that we weren't given just a snippet. And not I'm not saying he had to ever be shown on screen or you know, heard from, but just something along the lines of that story arc, because you essentially left him hanging there.
Yeah. And he's just done.
Right.
Like yeah.
I just wanted something. You know, even if it was just like a very subtle nod to the character, like this is, he's locked up in a Supermax in Colorado or something like that. So I was a little disappointed in that. Wasn't heartbroken by any stretch of the imagination. But there was part of me that was kind of always looking for that.
I could also see that, you know, given the theory that there was a lot more footage and that then they had to cut it for time.
Yeah.
I could see that being something that they dropped pretty easily.
Yeah. But couldn't you just see like some sort of, you know, when they were, I think a perfect time for they could have mentioned him was at the beginning of the movie, spoiler alert, when Commissioner Gordon's about to give that speech at Wayne Manor. If you would have just mentioned something, like a 2-second snippet, like he's locked up, you know, and you never have to worry about him again. He's in the most, you know, secure prison in the world or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just wanted just something.
Well, the man's dead. I don't know if he's coming. He's not coming back.
I know that. Or even just...
Unless they want to Tupac him.
Right.
Just hologram him in.
Yeah. And I've heard, like, crazy stories, you know, just... You know, they had a... There's some sort of deleted scene where, you know, they have him in a prison cell and all you hear is a laugh coming up from outside the prison cell. Or
yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure that stuff got cut.
Yeah. See, I could have seen that.
Yeah. But honestly, though, fanboyism aside, what purpose would that have served?
None, but I wanted to see it because I'm a fanboy.
Well, that's, you know,
and
that's
fair. I'm unabashed in that.
Yeah.
That is something that I wanted to see. That I didn't get my heart broken over it. Is it going to keep me from seeing the movie again and again?
A few dozen more times.
Right, it's not. It's not going to stop anything.
Do you guys leave any room for dessert at all today?
I don't think so.
No, I think we're good.
Okay, same checks or separate checks?
Same.
Okay.
Yeah, my other disappointment was that they didn't really use Morgan Freeman that much.
Yeah.
But really, what could he do?
Yeah. I think he worked in the spots that he was.
Yeah, and I think that's another one where if the story had been longer, because he was, you know, you kind of got the impression that him along with Tate were kind of holding together of that pocket of civilization.
Yeah.
after everything that had happened, they were kind of holding that group together.
Yeah.
And I can see if they'd gone a longer story, that would give them that story a little bit more reflection.
I was positive they were going to kill him off.
I thought they were too.
I absolutely was shocked that he was in that.
Several times throughout the movie, there was a couple times I thought, like, there's no way he's surviving.
Yeah, exactly. Things I love.
Things you love.
Great death scenes. With the exception of one. But great, I love...
Yeah, the Bane one.
But Bane killing people was awesome.
That was, anything Tom Hardy was in...
Yeah.
Was good.
Yeah.
Can I get water?
Yes, please.
Because it's extremely difficult...
Yeah.
And you can ask any actor this. It's extremely difficult to come off as charismatic when you can't see 60% of their face.
Right. Menace.
It's not even like a menace. Like he was interesting to watch.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just because there was a menace, but there was also just the... I wanted to hear him spout more philosophy.
Yes.
And granted, because I'm a philosophy nerd.
But I get what you're saying. Like... I would have loved to hear more, speeches.
Yeah, just another rant or something.
I love the visceral part of the character. That, it wasn't about dynamite. I mean, it was, but it wasn't about guns. I mean, did you ever see him shoot a gun?
No, not that I can remember.
He was going to shoot a gun at the very end.
Yeah,
I think that was the only time he had a gun in his hand.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, it's all bare hands.
Yeah.
And it's something...
But when you have a 90-inch chest...
Right.
You don't need to...
Big. Good God, he wasn't Bronson.
Watch that.
Yeah.
And then watch Star Trek Nemesis and tell me that's the same guy.
Exactly.
Because he's like gymnast body in Star Trek Nemesis.
Yeah. Thin as
rare. I want to know what the hell he's eating.
Oh. Beef. Just straight beef. They actually
right
brought
off
in
the cow.
Exactly. They actually killed a cow. Brought it to him.
No, not a cow. He just ate it like a corn on the cob. Just held it in the either hand.
Beef bones.
Yeah. No, not beef bones. Whole cow.
Whole cow.
He just picked
it up by the hoof.
Yeah. Just,
It's a big, scary dude.
Yeah. And he's another one of those guys, like, I've seen him in enough things now where it's like, that guy deserves every bit of success that he gets. Like, I've never seen a movie, even Star Trek Nemesis.
Yeah.
Not a good movie. Not even a good Star Trek movie.
Yeah. It's,
Yeah, I mean, it's generally considered on the low end of the spectrum of Star Trek
movies.
But
he's good in that. He's good in that.
Yeah, he's...
His death scene in that is fantastic.
It is.
I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I've seen the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's... he's... He's got the physicality. It's kind of weird. I kind of think of him similar to how I feel about The Rock. Where he's... going somewhere with this. He's got the physicality to do... straight action movies.
Yeah.
But he's got... There's an intelligence and there's enough of an acting skill behind him. More so with him than The Rock. But there's enough kind of performing talent there where he could do more, he could do a straight, drama. He could do...
Yeah.
He can do a comedy. He can do stuff like that. And I always thought Rock was like one of the great... missed opportunities.
Yeah,
was the fact that he went right to kids' movies. Yeah. Like at that point, he should have had a good 3-4 years. He should have been. I wouldn't say he should have been Conan, but I think the guy they had to play Conan was perfect for that.
Mm.
But he should have had at least another couple action movies in him before he decided to do like the Tooth Fairy.
And I think as you look at what he's got coming up,
The Rock or Tom Hardy.
Rock.
Oh, yeah. Who's got G.I. Joe,
and he's got Pain and Gain.
Oh, I haven't seen anything about
which is. It's a Michael Bay movie, but it's action.
Okay.
But not like spectacle action, not like Bad Boys or Transformers action. It's much more gritty.
Okay.
Action. I think he's got another Fast and Furious in there.
Yeah, those are fun. Like I like those.
Yeah. Tom Hardy.
our new Mad Max as well.
That's right. Filming, if that gets made.
He's filming it right now.
Doesn't mean it's going to get put out.
I guarantee you.
Any idea? Well, I'm not...
Charlize Theron.
Oh, is she in it too?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's
being made. George Miller directed.
Oh, okay.
There's no reason why this shouldn't be pretty dangerous.
Which means it won't come out.
Why are you doing this to me?
Just saying.
But yeah, I will. I have a fan for life. And had Heath Ledger made more movies after that, I'd go see every single one of them that he made.
Yeah. No, I'm starting to think Tom Hardy actually had Heath Ledger killed because he knew that was his big competition.
Yeah, he might have been onto something.
Yeah, the only problem with Heath Ledger is he couldn't bulk up.
Yeah. Well, he tried bulking up and...
No. Coke makes you lean.
That's true.
You know, lean and fast. Yeah.
Very fast. So,
very fast.
Yeah.
We're terrible people.
We are.
I enjoyed it. I will probably buy it.
Yeah. Will you see it again?
I don't know if I'd make an effort to go see it on my own, but if like friends of mine are going or something like that, then I'll go. It's become a tradition at Gen Con because the convention ends Sunday.
Right.
But we don't leave till Monday morning.
Okay.
So it's become kind of a tradition where we all go see a movie Sunday night.
Okay.
And I can see that being the movie that we go see if Avengers isn't still showing by that point.
Okay.
Because I still haven't seen Avengers.
Yeah. I was going to say, what do you prefer over this between the two? But
I mean, if given the choice, I'll see Avengers just because I haven't seen it yet. But
given you've seen what DC has to offer, and now you've seen what Marvel has to offer, where do you lie?
Oh, I'm still Marvel.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
DC is so freaking scattershot.
Yeah.
I mean, for every Dark Knight Rises, you got a Green Lantern. I actually dug Green Lantern. Like, I thought it was fine.
I didn't hate it as much as other people did.
But it was one of those where I think the focus was all wrong. And with Green Lantern, I think, you know, you should not. It was like, we're gonna do Green Lantern, one of like the big spectacle kind of characters, one of those things that was basically unfilmable until CGI got proper.
Right.
Okay. And you spend 5 minutes on whatever the Green Lantern planet is.
Yeah.
Like, sure.
I got it right.
No, I believe you. I don't know. Like, that should have been 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, and yes, they did a good job with having him, like, do the crazy shit on
Earth. They knew the other lanterns. That they only got a snippet of those.
Yeah. Well, that'll be in the next one. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's very little Sinestro.
Yeah.
I mean, it was missing a lot.
And...
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, I think Marvel's got a better roster.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing with movies is that DC has always been a villains thing.
Yeah.
Like, their villains are 10 times better than their heroes in most cases.
Yeah.
But until we get a fucking Lex Luthor movie or, you know, something like that.
Well, okay. Now we're gonna bring in what will be out next summer. We'll probably be broaching the same subject next summer.
Maybe.
We have Man of Steel coming out.
Do not care.
Really?
Yeah.
Produced by Christopher Nolan.
Great.
Directed by Zack Snyder of 300 and Watchmen fame.
I'm sure it'll be good. Superman holds no interest to me as a character.
Okay.
I have not seen any of the other movies.
Okay.
And...
You didn't see...
No.
Okay.
If Superman was in it, I did not see it.
Really?
Yes. I didn't see any of the Christopher Reeve ones, didn't see Returns, didn't do anything.
The Richard Pryor one.
Especially not the Richard Pryor one. I doubly didn't see that. But it's just, I don't like that character. It's just...
I liked the first Iron Man quite a bit.
Iron Man was good.
The first Iron Man and the second Iron Man.
Second Iron Man wasn't as good, but it was okay.
I thought Thor was okay.
Thor is a hard one because I think by that point Thor had to be By that point, they knew what Avengers was going to be.
Yeah.
So there's so much of Thor that is set up for Avengers.
Yeah. I think the reason why I like the Batman movies so much is because they're grounded in reality. Mm-hmm. And I put reality in quotes. Because... the things like the Tumblr seem like they could be real.
Yeah.
You know, and if I had that kind of money, I would absolutely buy one.
Yes, and drive it nowhere.
I wouldn't care.
It's not street legal, I'm pretty sure.
Just sit in there and masturbate constantly.
Just like your car now.
Pretty much. Bat juice everywhere.
It's terrible.
But there wasn't any sort of fantasy to it. Everything seemed... Yeah, maybe this one.
Okay.
I mean, you're stretching reality quite a bit.
Yeah.
But there's still some grounding in it. Or with Superman, even the basic story is too hokey for me.
Yeah.
So I'll see Man of Steel, and I have high hopes for it, considering the people who were involved with it. Maybe it'll have that element of reality to it. Probably not.
Well, then you better not see the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
That looked good. I've already read the whole setup for that. I would rather have you punch me in the face than that.
What, you don't want to go see Rocket Raccoon?
Are you kidding me? They're going to make a movie for this.
Oh, yeah.
If that thing breaks $100 million, I will be shocked. I will be absolutely positively shocked.
I think
that could be,
if they do it right, I think...
It would be the end of comic book movies as well.
If they can do it as a... I don't know, you don't necessarily need it to be a family. It needs
I'd
to
rather
be, it
see
needs,
a Ben Affleck Daredevil sequel before I saw that.
It needs to be a teen-friendly action movie. You know, I'm thinking like 80s Disney. Okay. You can't go too serious because there's a fucking raccoon in it.
Right.
But you can't go too cutesy because then, you know, people... You gotta go just kind of silly. Same thing with, like, Ant-Man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's nice that Simon Pegg's getting into the Marvel Universe. There's no way he's not gonna play Ant-Man.
No, they already picked who's gonna be Ant-Man.
Really?
It's not Simon Pegg.
Oh. Surprising.
I think it's going to be animated. That's what I heard.
Really?
Yeah. No, but I could be wrong.
I could have sworn they were going to tie it into the Avengers as well.
Oh, they will, but yeah. It'll be... last I heard, and like I said, I don't know what's going on. But regardless...
We beat this dead horse today?
I think we have. We haven't even talked about the place where we're eating.
Yes.
Where we eat it at.
Well, we'll do...
We eat it. That's good English.
We ate it.
We had burgers.
I had the Thai burger and onion rings. The onion rings were terrible.
Really?
Yeah, they were not good. They were way, 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 way too big. And they had a weird soft breading on it.
See, that's a style, though.
Not a good one.
Well, okay.
Not a good one.
They didn't seem that big.
They were not good.
I'm not disagreeing with it. They were bad, but they didn't seem that big.
I was not a fan in the least bit.
Okay.
The Thai burger was good, not great.
Okay.
The sauce on it was very good, but the burger needed salt and pepper. It had some carrots and some other... It had some cilantro on there as well, which was good. And a nice little touch. It also had some pine nuts on there too, which I wasn't expecting, but it kind of added this nice little textural thing to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the burger was completely underseasoned and had literally no flavor and was at times a little dry.
Okay.
And when you're terming yourself as a burger bar, the burger should be the absolute end-all be-all.
Mm.
We're getting this executed correctly and there should be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And that was the weak point.
Mm-hmm.
So... I would give it, you know, fairly low marks, but I wouldn't rule out coming back here. So.
Yeah, I went with their what they call the Juicy Clucy, which is their Juicy Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
They do Kobe beef, which is for one thing probably not actually Kobe.
Right.
But
I think it was maybe like a Wagyu beef.
No.
No.
It's probably American Kobe. Which is not the same thing. Damn it. But That aside, it was still good. I'm with you that it was a little under-seasoned, but it was hard to tell because it's a juicy Lucy.
Right.
With this, they had Wisconsin cheddar as the filling, which was good. And then on top of it, they had mozzarella.
Okay.
And they also had fried mozzarella on top of that.
Okay.
And that was good. They like to make a big deal about their sauces. Mine came with a kind of a tartar saucy mayonnaise kind of thing. That was very good, and I think it worked with everything else.
That surprises me, the tartar sauce on there.
It wasn't like a tartar sauce, but it wasn't like a straight mayo. You know,
so a little bit of like capers or something like that.
There was something in it. I'm not really sure what it was, but it was good. I kind of want to try some other things. You know, there's a lot looking at the menu that is kind of iffy to me.
Yeah.
You build the burger bar, and they've got a fair amount of ingredients, but there's nothing really crazy.
Yeah.
They do have two different kinds of bacon you can pick from, which is interesting. There's a jalapeno bacon and I think it's just a straight bacon. But there, there wasn't really a ton of options, and I honestly think it was a little overpriced.
I agree.
You know, because the build a burger, like a Kobe, was like $13.
Right.
Which is not horrible, but that's naked.
Your juicy Clucy.
Yeah.
Was completely overpriced.
Yeah.
Considering
what was it?
$16.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can get a juicy Lucy at either Matt's or. That was the other place. I can't 5-8. Remember. It was pretty forgettable. See what I did there?
Well, I remember when I'm fed horrible food too, so I can understand why.
But comparing the three.
Oh yeah.
Or even.
Well, even like Blue Door and the Nook.
You're still, $5 to $7 cheaper.
Yeah.
If not, at Matt's, that's a $6 burger.
Yeah.
At Matt's. Granted, it's a different size. These were.
It was a size. I mean, it was a half pound. Yeah, like mine was a good half pound.
They were big burgers, but they weren't.
They weren't super special.
No.
I think they're bison. I don't know where the fuck they're getting their bison from, but they might be getting it from the moon, because there's no reason a bison burger should be $17 naked. Like, that's just ridiculous.
I mean, we understand that there is a markup for bison, but it's not that
not I, no no I've had bison other places. It's not right. It's never that big of a shift,
because right.
They've got Black Angus. If they can do a Black Angus burger for $10,
yeah,
there's no reason why a bison should be $17.
Right. And if you're buying, let's say Eichton's up near Taylor's Falls.
Yeah, yeah.
Is a creamery, but they also do straight. Wow, that was too much.
Fucking Steve Perry, you gotta sing along with this.
But if you're talking like straight from the farm ground beef, straight from the farm bison, where you're looking at, maybe $5 for a pound and a half of ground beef.
Yeah.
You're looking at $8 for that. But even then, the markup is just so exponential.
Yeah.
That it doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm wondering where the cut.
Yeah. Maybe they're just getting Angus and Kobe cheap.
And I'm wondering if even though this portion of St. Paul seems, I don't want to say run down, but weathered, that it might be a high rent district.
I can totally see that. I mean, we're not far from Paso Luna.
Yeah. Far from Sakura.
Sakura. I mean, there's a park nearby. Mm-hmm. So I mean, this is probably not a low buck area.
No, you got Kincaid's, you got Meritage.
Yeah, Kincaid's. Yeah. Sure.
We got Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Which we tried to go to.
Yeah.
That wasn't happening. I want more. Mm-hmm. This place, it needs some development in terms of the menu.
It needs something. It's weird because like the more interesting things they're doing mm-hmm. aren't on burgers. Like they have a Kobe ravioli.
Yeah.
I thought about doing that.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's a burger bar. You can't fucking do that.
Right.
They're doing some other things that are really interesting. They've got some. Their appetizers. There was a nice variety of stuff there.
Yep.
Interesting things.
Yep.
But it was just, it was like the burgers is the weakest part.
And it, you would have thought that it, you know, we got here almost 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And this place should be pretty hopping.
It is a Monday, though.
But they didn't have any sort of happy hour specials that they were advertising. And it's pretty empty in here.
Yeah. There was a couple big groups, like when we first got here. Right. I don't know if they're still here.
Right.
But it's...
It needs help. It needs something.
It just needs...
The surroundings are nice. It's very masculine.
Yes.
There's a lot of brown leather, dark wood.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds you of kind of a classic bar. Not like NASCAR stuff everywhere, but, you know, a classy bar.
Mm-hmm.
A comfortable bar, comfy bar.
Yeah. It's a high-end man bar.
Exactly. There's a lot of whiskeys. There's a lot of scotches up there.
Yeah, not that I saw a drink menu, but,
right. That's another one.
Yeah, but, you know. So, I mean, I'd be more than willing to come back here, try some other things. I mean, I'm not completely turned off on it, but...
Judging by the other stuff they have in the area, though...
It's a harder sell.
Yeah.
I mean, we're within walking distance of Sakura and Amsterdam, which we haven't done on the show, but I've been to several times.
Mm-hmm.
This is a much harder sell for me.
If somebody were buying, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
Or if you have somebody who might not have, and this is going to come off snooty and snotty.
Most of what you say does.
But if you have somebody that doesn't have as refined of a palate as we do.
You're right, that does sound horrible.
Well, but it is. We can't, the two of us, we can't go to TGI Fridays anymore.
Oh, I can.
We can't go to Chili's or Olive Garden or any chain restaurant at this point and not be a little judgment, a lot more harsh.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, with those places, I'm easily bought. Give me a fishbowl margarita or a bottomless plate of Alfredo sauce. You can put some noodles in there if you want. That's fine. And just
bring your straw.
Give me the sauce.
A straw and a spoon.
Yeah, that's fine. So.
Yuck. Not okay. But if you had some, if you're, let's say you're coming down here for a wild game, and
okay,
but you're not saying you, but as an example,
the royal you,
and you guys are looking for some place to eat afterwards, and you don't want to hit up the bars along 7th Street, I think it is.
Yeah.
You know, like, by the Liffey and McGovern's and Uncle Moe's, or not Uncle Moe's, Burger Moe's.
That's right.
Or you're parked down this way, this would be a very good, you know, suitable place to come after a game, especially if you have somebody that is a little bit pickier and just wants a burger.
Mm-hmm. You know where this place would do well with? I think... And I realize that there are certain legalities at play, but I think this place needs a cigar room.
I agree.
And by that I mean a place you can go smoke cigars.
Yep. And if they, let's say they expanded either the wine list or like their scotch list,
mm-hmm.
and then had a cigar room.
Yeah, I mean, you know, think...
I'd be here every day.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there's been a big push for very man-centric, but quality food. I think, like, Butcher and the Boar.
Yep.
I think Pig and Fiddle, I think, fits that a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think this has that potential. Because, I mean, you look around and just the clientele. Not counting the wait staff.
There's one woman in here.
Yeah, there's one. And there's a lot of middle-aged, probably, you know, mid-level executive types here, you know.
Thanks.
Thank you. You know, and that is a valid market, because those guys got money.
Exactly, and they like to drink, and yeah. they like the thing, I don't want to say the finer things in life, but they like, you know, exclusivity.
Yeah, exactly.
And if this place had more of an air of exclusivity,
yes,
I think that they could do very well.
I'm with you there.
Especially considering their location. Yes. Not a bad location.
They need to change their music lineup as well.
Yes, this is not... This should have, you know, something besides this.
Sinatra.
Yeah.
A lot of...
Anything else?
I think we're good.
Enjoy. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, some rat pack.
Yeah, like that'd be awesome.
Get a little bit of jazz, maybe.
Yeah. I think that totally classes this place up. It's like they tried to split the difference between like a place you would like a Friday's and a Butcher in the Bar.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. I think this is where you end up.
Yeah, this is what happens.
Yep. You get a comfy surrounding.
Yeah.
But nothing really else.
I will have to give credit, speaking of Sinatra, I'll have to give credit to the Golden Valley Cineplex Odeon.
Okay.
Which is where I went and saw Dark Knight last night. They didn't do the pre-show, you know, commercials and bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did the previews and stuff like that, but before that, it was just music playing, and they were alternating Sinatra, pretty much entirely Sinatra. They were alternating Sinatra with the score of the Tim Burton Batmans.
What the fuck?
It was really weird, but it was awesome. It was perfect.
The score or
the score?
Okay. So you didn't get like the bat dance.
No, but there was no bat dance. But you know,
that is a low moment in Batman history right there. I love Princess as much as the next guy.
I just watched the original Tim Burton Batman, and it's so 90s.
That's bad.
Amazing. Like late 80s, I suppose, because that was like 88, I think.
I think it was 89.
Yeah, 88, 89, something like that. But
it's bad. It's not good.
It was what it was. It was Tim Burton.
I know.
Like, I dare say that short of like the animated movies or the claymation movies, the original Batman is the most Tim Burton movie he's ever done.
I agree.
Yeah. So
Edward Scissorhands.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
sorry.
Close. No, I'm with you. But it's a close second.
I think Edward Scissorhands.
Just watch that. Not too long ago. I've been on a weird old Tim Burton fix lately.
That's
apparently
not the worst thing to be in.
Back when Winona Ryder was cute.
Now she's dressing up as an old woman.
No, I think she just aged.
You really think so?
Okay. We'll end on this thought because we got to wrap up because it's already been a long show. How do you see Anne Hathaway looking in 20 years?
Fantastic.
You think so? I worry a little bit.
No, there's no way that's going south.
I worry she might go the Winona Ryder route where she just becomes beef jerky, where she just loses all moisture and just kind of she becomes more bird-like.
Why are you ruining this?
I'm not ruining nothing.
You really are. You're poo-pooing it.
Well, go home, watch Havoc, and then you'll be fine.
Look, just like it's my brother, my twin brother.
Man. Just keep pausing and rewinding scene in Brokeback Mountain.
No, I'm telling you, go see the movie Havoc.
Okay.
Where she plays like an actual like slut.
Really?
Yes.
Done.
Yeah. Just go rent it. It'll be fine.
Okay.
Alright, so I think our thoughts on both the movie and the restaurant have been made clear.
Yeah.
So
you have two thumbs up to the movie, two thumbs down though.
I wanna say two thumbs down. I wanna say try again.
Yeah.
That's really, I guess, my thought. I was unimpressed. I don't see myself coming out here.
No.
You know, all the way to St. Paul.
I'm not making this special trip.
But I'm willing to give you another shot. As we end with a little Def Leppard, a little Hysteria. I think this is Hysteria.
Photograph,
yep, sorry. My bad.
It's all right.
We want to thank our sponsors, Def Leppard. No.
Mm-hmm.
The hopchart.com for all of your beer cataloging needs. We'll follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wellfedguidetolife. foursquare.com/wellfedguidetolife. And facebook.com/wellfedguidetolife. I actually should point out that the Twitter is actually wellfedguidefpg, but I was distracted by Dave's O face while he was trying to sing Def Leppard. So, got a lot of great messages from people. I quickly want to thank people that took the survey, the listener survey. I got a lot of good responses from that. And to answer several other people's questions, yes, we'll be bringing back the lunch truck show. It's just been a really rough weekend for me at work, or a few weeks at work. So, but we will be bringing it back before the end of the season. So, but thank you for your patience. But it will be coming back. And we'll be coming back all the more stronger next summer because I'll have had time to plan it a little better than this time around.
Damn, Skippy.
Yeah. So thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.